Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And we're back. Keep it. It's here.
Yep.
It's still here.
This is sort of an election night feel because the Emmy nominations are rolling in this second. And I'm like scrolling through our feeds, like screaming things at interns to get me coffee as I learned that Catherine O'Hara was nominated.
It is the same thing as when the boys are waiting for election results to come in.
Right. With the same urgency, the same random people crying, walking around the room. Yes.
Yeah. And we are joined by Brooke Thomas.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so psyched you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
You came in, you walked right in the room, and I was immediately filled with life.
Good.
Yeah.
I did that.
You had a keep it mug, too. I was like, no one has looked better with a keep it mug. You guys just have to believe me on this.
Brooke, pass me up.
You are a journalist at the Young Turks.
I am.
You've been on Hysteria.
Yes.
And now you're on Keep It.
Yes, you guys stole me away.
We did.
I'll take it.
We did. Well, I think these Emmy knobs are finally in. So let's get into the biggest news, which is Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah. The fans win, I guess.
I know. Schitt's Creek got nominated for Best Comedy.
Okay.
And Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara got acting noms.
Which is awesome for one reason specifically. I mean, I love Catherine O'Hara, but obviously we think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to win. But in that category, it's just nice to see fresh faces that are competitive with her. Because if it was sort of the same people who are always up against JLD, it would be a foregone conclusion that she's winning. But she's up against Christina Applegate. She's up against Natasha Lyonne. Lots of people who are really good at smoking on screen.
there are also people who, like you said, they're not fresh faces, right? They're not like someone nominated for their first year in a sitcom. Like,
right.
These are people who are, we know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's caliber because they've been in the game as long as her.
Correct.
So,
yes.
Yeah, there's a chance that she might not get it because people also rarely get noms for their last seasons on shows.
Right, right. They usually fall off, etc. But I mean, it does seem like she's going to win. I mean, she beat cancer this year. I'm not saying like when you're watching the TV show, you think like, well, you can tell she beat cancer in this season. But I mean, just like there's so much goodwill towards her and it's such a legendary performance. She's won every other time she's been eligible to be nominated. So, I mean, it'd be weird if she lost, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Were you excited about any Emmy noms?
No, you know, I'm looking through and not really.
Have you watched television ever
yes,
in your life?
I've watched a ton of these shows. So I was looking like outstanding drama. I like that Game of Thrones is probably not going to win, which I like Game of Thrones, but we were talking about it. It's competitive. Usually it's a throwaway, I would think, because Game of Thrones has been such a massive hit. And this season, it was like, all right.
Right. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who's like, it needs to win this year.
Yeah, exactly. And I like Pose. Nothing else makes me... It used to be This Is Us first season. I'm crying at the end of every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Pose.
Now it's Pose because
every single episode.
Just, you know, spoiler alert, killing people and having them dance on their caskets.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And you know what? I always see something on Twitter like, oh, everyone's saying they're crying. And so I get to the point to where I think it's going to be, that's the sad point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, no, I made it through. Oh, no, it's the part after. it's the ghost. That's the part.
We need more dramas that bring in Sandra Bernhardt as a no-nonsense doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this might be the first one to achieve that is sad. We're behind.
I'm shocked she wasn't on like Nurse Jackie or something.
In the 80s, we had Hot Brothers Who Murdered, and I do miss it.
Mm, yeah. Love, and we had it in the 40s too.
That's right. Oh, Leopold and Loeb.
Wait, were they brothers?
That's way before that. No, they were like friends who maybe hooked up one time. Mm. One had a crush on the other. We can talk about dashing murderers another
time.
They
weren't brothers.
Okay.
Yes.
No, okay.
True. Cool.
But lovers. Maybe. Also, Pose was nominated and Billy Porter got lead actor in a drama and no one else from Pose got nominated, which, you
it's
know.
Fascinating.
Well, Billy Porter is like a peacock the person. I'm glad
of
he
course.
Was out and doing it and unforgettable, as
yes.
always.
Is there...
By the way, I just found the craziest nomination on this list. Are you ready?
Yes.
Reality show host. Some of these are familiar. Got your RuPaul. Gotcher, James Corden for The World's Best. That's not something I've seen. Ellen DeGeneres, Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, and Marie Kondo.
Stop.
Guys,
really?
The woman shows up for 3 minutes.
She does not host anything.
She looks at you, smiles, kneels, and then she goes, you figure it out.
Jeff Probst used to win that.
Right.
Like, every year.
And then he got sick of winning awards.
So what's interesting is it's 2019 and there's 7,000 TV shows on the air. So I honestly could not tell you what I think was snubbed.
Sure. Right, because there's
too many shows. What's on the air? What am I missing?
I forgot existed.
And also, the categories have expanded so much. I mean, there's 8 nominees in Outstanding Comedy alone, which, imagine needing to watch 8 comedies in a year. Guys, laughing is exhausting.
The amount of nominees, like, in actress in a comedy, too.
Oh,
just acting nominees. There's so many people. Also, guest actors in a drama, before we wrap this up, Laverne Cox, I think, makes history as the first trans person nominated for an acting category in drama.
And she was previously nominated in comedy.
In comedy. She made history then in 2014, too.
Well, she needs to move on to variety talk show host. We need to get into the...
Well, Orange is the New Black next year might be nominated as variety talk show.
Sketch series.
Because she's been nominated for the same fucking show.
Wait, what's she nominated for?
Orange is the New Black, which was a comedy in 2014.
No, which category? Sorry.
Guest actress in a drama.
Got it. Oh, yes, right. I was looking in comedy because of what you just said.
Now it's a drama. Which I guess, because there's been prison riots and people dying.
Right. No, it shifted.
And anyway, I think I'm just going to end on saying my biggest snub is Charlie Barnett for Russian Doll.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he's so hot.
Okay, well, okay.
He deserves an award. I mean, he's a really good actor, too.
I'm always rooting for Natasha. Something about her is just genuine article.
Likeable.
I just love her. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to get into it.
We got a big show today. We're going to talk about Scarlett Johansson and her recent comments about pulling out of the movie Rub and Tug. Thought that was over last year, but she's back. Then we will be joined by Justin Simeon, creator of Dear White People. We're going to talk about the upcoming season 3, The Real Housewives of Potomac, Tyler Perry, and Beto O'Rourke announcing that he is descended from slave owners. Then we're going to wrap things up with the drama on the set of Big Little Lies, and I'm not talking about Meryl Streep and her teeth and the wigs. So stick with us. This is Keep It. If you recall an episode from last year, we talked about Scarlett Johansson dropping out of the film Rub and Tug.
Right.
Where she was supposed to play a trans man, Dante Tex Gill. Remember, she initially pushed back on criticism from the LGBTQ community, which, you know, said that maybe a cis woman shouldn't be playing a trans man in a film.
We were out of line.
Yes, you know, it was pre-Pose.
What we learned.
Because now it's all fair. Now it's fair.
She was said in response to her critics, tell them that they can be directed to Jeffrey Tambor, Jared Leto, and Felicity Huffman's reps for comments. Well, let me tell you something.
Do they still have reps?
Do they?
Who would have guessed that out of the three of those, Jared Leto would be by far the most noble?
No. Wow. 30 seconds to dignity. Anyway, recently, after we thought that blew over, ScarJo is back. And in a recently released interview with As If, which is not a sequel to the Renee Zellweger Netflix drama.
Nor is it a magazine spinoff of Clueless.
Scarlett Johansson said, you know, as an actor, I should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal because that is my job and the requirements of my job. I feel like it's a trend in my business and it needs to happen for various social reasons. Yet there are times it does get uncomfortable when it affects the art because I feel art should be free of restrictions. And then she later said that her comments were clickbait and said that they were widely taken out of context and that she was actually answering a question in a conversation with contemporary artist David Sal, who was asking about the confrontation between political correctness and art. And she said that she feels personally that in an ideal world, any actor should be able to play anybody in any art form. But, of course, there's widespread discrepancy amongst her industry that favors Caucasian, cisgendered actors, and not every actor has been given the same opportunities that she's been privileged to.
She wrote a whole statement to say, I said what I said. I was reading that like, wait, is there something different in here?
Right. It's, you did say what you said, girl.
There, I have to say, though, this is kind of a weird opinion to have about this. When celebrities say something like, oh, I was actually talking about this in regards to whatever question was asked, so a lot of the times with these things, you actually don't know what question was asked. Mm-hmm. So I actually could be without the proper context for what you said. Mm-hmm. So I initially am occasionally too sympathetic in situations like this. That said, when getting back to the point of, in an ideal world, anybody could play anybody. It's just like, who cares? Like, it's like when people say things like, funny is funny. That doesn't mean everybody should be saying the same jokes just because right. you think it's funny. You know?
Also, in an ideal world, where does this world exist, girl?
I know, we're not getting there.
Right, and honestly, in an ideal world, who you play on a movie is the least concerned.
Right. We're not talking about it.
We are obviously not talking about an ideal world, and neither are you, and you know you're not. You are still salty because you still believe that you should continue to be given everything.
Mm-hmm. Ghost okay. in the Shell. Right. This
I have a question. Did anybody see Ghost in the Shell?
No.
I don't even have a sense of it among, like, my friends who watch everything, what that movie is. Just based on the reaction to it, I feel like it's her, like, in a geisha outfit lip-syncing turning Japanese for 2 hours.
It's probably better.
Maybe.
It very well
I don't
could
know.
Be.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, no shade, too. She's talking about the battle between political correctness and art. And I'm like,
who? Her.
ScarJar, when's the last time you were making a movie for art's sake?
I'm going to say,
Lucy. Okay.
Girl with the Pearl Earring was quite a few years ago.
Yeah. Also, scoop!
It's offensive to be calling, like, people saying, hey, we never get these opportunities. And now you're talking about us more and still refuse to give us these opportunities. I don't know if that should be described as political correctness. That's kind of offensive to me in general.
Right.
I don't
right.
know, because it's how we talk about basic humanity and giving all humans the same civil liberties, and we call that politics.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that works for me. I don't know if, I think the phrase political correctness is corny anyway.
Mm-hmm. I also think that in an ideal world, we don't have everyone playing any role, you know? Like, I don't think an ideal role is, you know, where I see you know, a white woman saying they call me Mr. Tibbs, you know?
I'd like to see them try. I don't know. Yeah.
I think that we have more roles for marginalized communities. And I think that's the ideal world.
Yeah.
You know, we have people representing themselves and their cultures, and writers and directors also representing themselves.
There's also some implication of, like, meritocracy is the ideal world, but only when certain people get the opportunities to play certain characters, it's like, well, you're just valuing whiteness again. Anyway, sorry.
In an ideal world, these stories don't exist because these human beings that you want to steal roles from, they aren't dying tragically. The stories don't even exist in an ideal world.
That seems true.
These stories of people fighting to be considered human, they don't exist because it's an ideal world.
I do think she should be sentenced to play a tree, though. You know what's interesting about Scarlett Johansson is I do feel like in some ways she is like, we just talked about Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey, and 1 year, and, like, she's just going to decide to win an Oscar, and then we're going to give it to her. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we are going to ramp up to some year in which she's going to give a ton of interviews, and I want to see how many of them she lands, because I am worried.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I mean, a Scarlett Johansson press tour sounds like a nightmare. and she also mentions in her statement that, you know, I always have continued to support diversity in every industry and will continue to fight for projects where everyone is included. And I say to that, I'm going to wait and see. Right? Because, like, when she pulled out of Rub and Tug, didn't that mean that it wasn't going to be made? Because she was the star being attached to it, right?
Right, right.
You know, it's like, lend your star power then to the movie still, and just don't play the trans role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was her trying to get that Oscar, by the way.
Right. That is really a shame that that project seemingly went nowhere after that. You're telling me, like, it felt to me like it got enough press that they could have done something cool after that and cast somebody appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting when someone you like just turns out to be so awful.
or miss. Yeah,
would see you on the street and not spit on you if you were on fire. This just doesn't. It just doesn't sound good. This
are you talking about Scarlett Johansson or Sue Hawk from Survivor?
I'm talking about Scarlett Johansson. This is just kind of gross. I don't know. I liked her.
Yeah, I like Black Widow.
What movie did I like? I don't know.
She was in Her, Lost in Translation.
Yeah, like, Lost in Translation
was
a great performance.
Where we all used to really rock with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
And then she started talking.
Yep.
I think the moral of this is celebrities don't talk.
Don't talk.
Don't give interviews.
Well, do you know what I think the problem is, too? Is I think people underestimate that, generally speaking, most celebrities have gotten smarter. And mm-hmm. so when somebody falls behind, it's like, look, we have people out here who actually do know what to say and who do represent, you know, the ideals of Hollywood, et cetera. There
especially
are people who don't
sell.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So when somebody messes up, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It's not that the younger generation is too woke and these older people can't catch up. It's that a lot of people fucking get it, you mm-hmm. know? And then also can take criticism well, you know?
People are smart enough to just not say the trash parts of their personality, to not bring them public. And some people are just so awful that they hate that those things that they believe are considered awful. And they just have to say it.
Do you think Patricia Heaton's going around telling people she's a Republican all the time?
No, right. She wants that money.
She hides it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also the thing that not just that people have gotten smarter, right? It's also the fact that now that we have other actors like Viola Davis, mm-hmm. you know, or Octavia Spencer, you know, or like other people who are diverse and not just like the same white actors we've been seeing for years in Hollywood, now that they have roles and they're doing junkets and they're giving interviews, they have better things to say,
right,
you know,
right,
because
right.
they've been experiencing this, you know, and if you're one of the actors who is just sort of coasting by and not ever really having to think about any of that, then of course you're not going to have anything smart to say on the subject.
Right, right, right. But anyway, so we're not getting Rub and Tug now? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Sadly.
I mean, if it can't go on with somebody else, I don't know what to say. That's
can we keep the movie and not get her?
It does seem obvious, right? Yeah.
When we're back, we're joined by Justin Simien, creator of Dear White People. Keep It is brought to you by Barefoot Dreams. Lewis?
Yes?
When you see footprints in the sand, that was when I carried you in my Barefoot Dreams robe.
Now, is that a Leona Lewis song? No?
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams, especially now as the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary. With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket. And while many have attempted to duplicate their blankets, robes, and more, Barefoot Dreams' fabrication and quality cannot be replicated, so don't believe the dupes. Girl, this blanket is it.
I effing love this blanket. I'm thinking about it right now, and I want to jump in my bed, which is sponsored by something that we'll do another ad for momentarily. Get ready. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times. Jesus, get a life, Oprah. My God. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials. Their products make the perfect gifts, too. I throw this thing on. I wear it like a shawl. I look exactly like Ellen Burstyn. And I am the coziest a human being can be. Because, by the way, it's still that time in Los Angeles where it's, like, pretty mild outside, and then your apartment is cold. I can't explain it. I don't know things like basic science. For Keep It listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code KEEPIT15. Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
And we're back with Justin Simeon.
Yes.
Who has returned.
She's returned. She's come back.
Yeah.
Despite the way she was treated last time. I'm not sure. Anything bad about it, it was all good.
It was Kara. She threw books at you.
She did.
Mm-hmm. But you came
read these.
I came back because I have a short memory. As you all found out.
Goldfish man, Justin Simeon, back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Numbers nothing. So I'm really useful as a guest on the show. Telling stories.
Last time you were here, season two of Dear White People was debuting.
She was coming out.
And now it's aired.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
now
Lord
season
has.
Three is coming.
Now there's a third season.
I know. And I've watched season two.
Season two or season three?
I watched season two.
Oh, well, I hope so.
Great.
Oh, shit, it's been a year.
Well, this weekend.
Okay. See, Ira. All the time.
Hilarious.
Okay, my favorite thing about this story, though, is what I do remember is a DM sometime last year from you going like, oh, my God, the season's really good. So who are you, Ira?
The first season.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the second season.
Yes.
Oh, see, I was glamored the whole way through.
Yes. Actually, when I did finish season two this weekend, I realized I watched the first three episodes.
You did. Yeah. You had started it.
Yeah,
for sure. Because I remember we had talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
We were definitely in a golden age of forgetting you watched TV.
Oh, my God.
It is very hard. So how is that for you? Your show's on Netflix, and literally something drops every day on Netflix. There are 15 Netflix shows that I have not finished.
It has ruined my viewing habits because while you're making a Netflix series, like literally the last thing I want to do is come home and watch like thinking television. Like this is why I stay in the Housewives of Potomac so hard is because like when I'm
Clank.
Oh my God, Candace? Okay, we're gonna get there. Okay, the point
Can
is though,
we?
Is that
oh my
like,
goodness.
Oh my God.
I cannot wait.
I think it's the best. I think it's like Housewives of Potomac and then like Chernobyl or something. I
don't
know. Real Housewives of Chernobyl. Yes.
A Housewives show.
So right.
And at this point, I think you need to watch Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
God, that seems like a daring choice.
Oh, no.
So it's only in its fourth season.
I thought it was older.
It's four.
It just really woke up last season.
It just woke up last season, yeah.
The seasons are very short. Let me tell you some things that have happened.
Okay, yeah, Shark Tank it to me.
Karen Huger, her husband was charged with tax evasion by the IRS.
Ooh, what a glamorous old school problem to have.
Yes.
I miss tax evasion.
There's nothing glamorous about it as it unfolds, but that's the best part. Because the thing about the Housewives of Potomac is it's the best of Atlanta and the best of Beverly Hills, and that they're rich, and they have real serious rich bitch problems, but there's this patina on top of it of just fabulous black people on top of it. So they're like,
good.
A lot of them are also broke.
I was gonna say, it's cheaper.
Aren't they broke?
It's like
some
Atlanta, but
Robin. Robin has no damn money.
Robin.
Because Robin and her money, Robin and her
is
ex,
me.
Juan, were swindled out of their money by a business partner after like the first season. So she actually went broke.
And I also feel like whenever, because you know, everyone has like their side projects on the Housewives. So like Giselle is like, I have a new beauty line in Target. It's amazing. And they cut to Robin. She's like, I'm still working on this house I bought. Like it's always like a little struggle bus for Robin.
Yeah.
But I identify with her so much.
Wow.
Like I feel like I'm Robin most of like in life. Like just like, girl, I bought this hammer today. And everybody else is like, like, you know, I just, like, renovated, like, the W Hotel and made it mine. It's the Yuga Hotel now. And she's like, girl, I got a screw.
But they're all lying because we see it. They're all lying.
Well, right.
Reality,
one of the, like, most shocking things was, so Karen, because the IRS.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead,
Ira. She got a house, a very big new house, and all the women were investigating because they weren't sure she was actually living in it. They thought it was just for show.
Real quick, though, I just have to say, people's husbands might be gay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Oh,
so, so to wrap this up for Lewis.
Sorry.
No, I'm just like, I'm trying to get to the heat.
To wrap this up for Lewis, this season's drama is Ashley Darby, her husband, Michael, who is Australian, and they used to own a restaurant.
Down
they don't
under.
Own it anymore?
It closed
it just
recently.
Shut down.
But I wanted to try.
I know. We all were sort of like, we want to go to that kangaroo restaurant.
Yes, we do.
But no, but that one made it. It's closed.
Oh.
So a year ago and stuff, there were rumors and leaks that her husband was on Grindr soliciting, like, men on her sex.
Oh, my God. This is the Australian man?
The Australian man.
Because there's no sexual orientation rules in Australia.
Yeah, right.
There's sexuality.
As we're finding out.
Right.
As we're finding out this season.
Yeah.
Everybody identifies as CrossFit there.
So the season opens. They're trying to have a baby.
Okay.
The season opens with apparently, while he didn't remember he was mic'd or he was drunk, he said aloud, and some other housewives heard it, "I would suck his dick," talking about one of their husbands. We don't know who.
We don't know who.
It was probably one.
Definitely one.
Yeah, it was absolutely one, right?
Definitely one.
Also, because also the way Robin denies giving the name of who it is my favorite. Because we know it's Juan.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, we know it's Robin's dude. But she, the way, I just don't, out of respect, I can't say it. And it's like, oh, Robin, I love you so much.
So everyone is having fights about this. It finally came out at a dinner party. The woman who hates Ashley.
Like in all the greatest plays.
Right. Yes. The woman who hates Ashley attacked her with a knife.
Mm-hmm. But she did give her a beverage.
Yes.
Oh, and her reasoning for why like it was okay is that she gave her a beverage.
I invited her into my home.
I gave her a beververage. Therapist, no.
But
and then
Katie,
this week there was just
afterwards.
A fight.
Oh. Ashley's like, but they're trying to say he's gay. And Katie's like, not paying attention. Oh, is he?
No, wait. Katie's response to the whole thing was literally me. That's the thing. There's someone that's you in every scene, right?
Right.
And
right.
Like, yes, this whole blow up happens. Your husband's gay. How dare you? All this stuff. They're mad at her for some reason. I never could understand why it's like Ashley's a problem.
It's a weird
obsession. The problem with Real Housewives shows, unfortunately, is
it's a
that
weird obsession.
There's always a husband or someone that they think might be gay.
Always.
The storyline has happened on every show.
Yes.
And it always veers into this weird, almost homophobic.
Almost. It gets quick.
Yeah. But don't you think they are so aware of that? Like, the way they're all parsing it is kind of brilliant on its own.
It's weird because it's a storyline. Yeah. So you have to talk about it. But it also gets into, you know, like,
I don't care if he's sucking penis. I just care that the penis belongs to one of our husbands.
And now they started giving this disclaimer.
Yes.
Now, it's okay.
Yes.
I'm saying it. It's okay.
Disclaimer.
But, and I'm like, see, that's when you know you should not say what you're about to say.
But they say it, and we're listening, and it's so good.
Anyway, it's great.
What I like about Potomac is that, like Beverly Hills and like New York and sometimes Atlanta, everyone's aware that they have a job to do. They are playing characters in a soap opera, reality series. Mm-hmm. And their job is to get as much camera time as possible and to be as interesting as possible, but also to like deal with their real shit when possible.
Right.
They get it. They just get the job.
They can
job.
Wade into authenticity.
Yeah, yes. They get the job of being on the show, and everyone gets it. Like, I don't feel sorry. There's like Housewives where I feel sorry for a couple of cast members because I'm like, they don't know the jokes on them.
Oh, like who?
Well, I don't know that Luann fully understands where everyone's coming from.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't. And for a while, that was Dorit, too, I think.
Yes.
She thought the voice thing was a good look.
I literally think Luann is our living Florence Foster Jenkins.
Oh, my God.
People show up and, like, wave a hanky, and they're like, can you believe her?
Doing cabarets.
Yes.
Speaking of screen time and playing your roles. I'm segueing into the current drama that we're all living in, which is the...
What is that?
2020 Dem race. So we're talking about Beto O'Rourke announcing that he was descended from slave owners. His paternal great-great-great-grandfather, Andrew Cowan Jasper, apparently owned two women in the 1850s, Rose and Eliza, and he revealed this personal connection in a Medium post where he outlined his new plan to offer Black people a significant amount of fundraising in areas where we've been systematically overlooked.
Oh, wow. Honestly,
What are your thoughts? So
I don't have any thoughts when white people say racist weird shit. I have no thoughts.
So Beto O'Rourke came out with the fact that he is descended from slave owners.
Yeah.
Like, duh.
That's what I'm saying. That was
surprise.
My reaction. Yeah, I know, bitch. That's how it works.
He's so attention-seeking. It's so stressful.
I found it very funny.
Uh-huh.
Some people were like, it's not that funny. And he was trying to, you know, do a lot of things for the Black community in his policies when he announced it. I'm like,
that's
great,
wanted
but
you to
you're
take
polling
it seriously.
At one.
Okay.
So, Okay. You're not going to be president.
Honestly, if he was trying to do a lot of things for the black community, he would be focused on Texas and doing what he could do in Texas instead of his vanity presidential campaign.
Let me tell you some shit. I am from Houston, Texas.
I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay. Well, those are different places, but yes.
Arguably, there's a border between them.
But it's just that part of the country, okay?
No, I'm playing. Yeah. But when Beto was running...
I am from Wisconsin.
But, like, he was great for Texas because, like, Houston and Austin and, like, there's black people in Texas. There are people who make sense in Texas. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. There are not all of them are in my family. It's fine. There are liberals in Texas. There are progressive people. There's creative people all over. And I thought that that's where he was needed.
It is.
Is needed. Yeah. Is to try to win there again because, like, I've never grown up really in a Texas where the state was, like, controlled by the people that I actually interface with all the time and every day. And him possibly, you know, getting a seat there was, like, really exciting. Like, fuck, there's, like, somebody who makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just makes sense. Doesn't even have to be brilliant. You just make basics ass sense.
Right.
Running something in Texas, like, since Ann Richards, we've been waiting, okay? So, you know, I hope that he finds a way back some point.
Yeah, I think it's over
when he doesn't get this nomination.
Yeah. I just feel like every reason you would like him is covered by, in some Venn diagram formation, the people who are ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's part of the problem, right? It's like, one, I was like, who isn't descended from slave owners if you're white? And if you aren't, you are descended from people who benefited from slavery.
Yes, 100%.
Right.
Three,
oh my God.
When he was talking about the policies and things, it's like, that's great, you know? But my same thing is with, you know, like...
What's the policy going to do if you don't get the nomination,
yes,
boo?
It's like there are so many people ahead of you at this point, and you're at the bottom of the second tier of people, and you lost money in fundraising in this recent quarter.
Here's the problem.
It felt like a stunt.
As a professional try-hard, okay? Like, I try way too fucking hard. That's his problem, is that it comes off very try-hard. Like, when he spoke Spanish at the debate, it's like he wants you to see how he's down, and that makes him not down. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to display it so hungrily. But it's okay. It's just not his time. I'm living for Marianne Williamson, everything she does says.
Talk about a white woman who definitely wears a turban sometimes.
I'm just into it in general.
I want it to stop.
But she is Haji.
Yeah. But I have a love-hate relationship with Twitter, so I'm on and off it. So when I'm on it, and I've been on it this past week, I don't know what happened, but I've been on it this past week, and so I see the shade thrown at all the candidates, but I haven't really been keeping score like that. I just know, like, I'm kind of, like, down for whoever can win 2020.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Literally don't care who that is, except not Biden. Sorry. I'm not into Biden. That's the one emotion I actually have, is that I'm not really for that.
It's his fault. We didn't know. He could have been Uncle Joe forever and nobody had to know.
Nobody had to know.
Nobody had to know what was in,
like, the emperor. It's not that the emperor has no clothes. It's just that, like, he's missing, like, a shirt.
Yeah. Fewer clothes than expected.
Yeah. He's, like, missing a belt. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a full outfit, but, child, whatever. Sorry, where were we going?
So what is happening in season 3 of your show?
Some
season
bullshit.
2 ends, you know, with secret societies.
Uh-huh. Secrets unleashed.
You know.
Giancarlo Esposito's and whatnot joining the narrative.
So nice. Yeah.
Whom I love. One of the great supporting performances in recent years. And him on Breaking Bad.
Yes. And he's just who you want him to be in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Gracious, thoughtful, kind, generous. Like, he is a wonderful human being. Like, truly. And you learn so much just from working with him. So there's more of him this season. Mm-hmm. I air out some of my dirty laundry a little bit this season. I play a character named Jerry Schuyler. This is my acting debut.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Which is, in a lot of ways, because, you know, my career begins with the words, fuck Tyler Perry. Like, that's where my career starts, in the Dear White People concept trailer.
You and A Strange Loop off Broadway.
Oh. Yeah.
You hate Tyler Perry.
Well, you know, I don't actually. I don't actually. And he called me up one day, which was odd because I didn't give him my number.
He has the phone number.
Yeah.
Period.
Oh, yeah. He's like, black person? Got it. And I was like, oh, shit. This is happening now in my car while I, like, wait outside of a McDonald's for, like, my, you know, extra crispy hash browns. Anyway, I think that's where I was. But the point is that he called and he was like, yo, so do we have beef or not? And I was like, no, Mr. Perry, no!
Mr. Perry.
Because we were running into each other at some like event coming up or whatever, and he just called to like see what was up. And I was like, here's the thing, okay? When I was brand new, maybe a little bit, maybe I felt that crabs in a barrel and I felt like I had to aim at you to get my ass out the barrel because nobody was checking for black shit that wasn't like Tyler Perry in 2013, 2014 when I was trying to make this damn movie. But since I've made the movie and been on the other side of that Q&A line, okay, being asked about like why she end up with the white dude and how come Lionel ain't more gay and how come da da da, like I've been on that side of it. I was like, I get it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if you ever felt aggression from me, because the truth is you're talking to your audience and I'm burying my shame by attacking you because you can speak to an audience that I haven't discovered yet. I haven't found my audience yet because I can't get in the door. So like I had that moment with Tyler and I really wanted to get across that mind fuck of growing up black with heroes that become problematic and antagonists that become heroes and try to navigate that shit.
You what know? Did he say?
What's that?
What did he say?
Oh, gosh. He said, well, I just wanted to call. He was so gracious. Yeah. First of all, funny. I mean, he's like the coolest. He's like a really cool chat, you know? And we just chatted for a little bit. He poured into me. He said some really kind things about my cinema. He, like, you know, offered some advice in a few areas in my business.
And he said to give one of your characters AIDS.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. He suggested that.
Journey Smollett.
But, you know, but you know what he did say? He was like, you guys are doing things that I'm not doing. Like, you guys are going places in narrative that I'm not going into because, you know, I want to serve a particular audience, but I also want to make black people rich. And I was like, okay, I can fuck with that.
He's like, you know what? It sounds like you can do bad all by yourself.
Yeah, you know? But trying to reconcile that real sort of 2013 me, like, fuck everybody, anger, trying to reconcile that because now the show is in its third season. It's already established in the minds of people. And the show's brand is attacking the status quo, but we're the status quo now. Like, you know, and so we have to kind of start to turn in on ourselves and go, okay, well, what a, and so I unpack a lot of shit this season. I make fun of myself. I make fun of our show.
Oh,
one of the shows within a show, there's like a very dear white people, black people arguing a jazz moment. But we also like, yeah, we talk about Tyler and we talk about Spike and we talk about like, what do we do with these heroes and these influences when we're trying to actually be something greater and more than the people that came before us in a world that still doesn't get us, is worse than ever, just as racist as it always has been. But now, like, the truth of our heroes is starting to come to light. It's starting to be a part of that cultural conversation. What the hell do you do when the only reason you're even there is because somebody made you feel like you could do it because they had the same skin color as you. And you finally get there and they're a hot mess. What do you do? You know, that's what the kids are struggling with this season. That's what I was struggling with this season, just about personal life. And just the mind fuck of Tyler Perry going from antagonist to like mentor in my head. I was like, oh, I got to like capture that feeling somehow. And I think that that's what we did this season. Yeah. Ira.
I love that.
What are you saying? What are the odds for?
I'm a Tyler Perry flick.
I was going to say, I feel like...
time to time.
Oh. I do too, yeah.
I mean, look, you ain't got to.
I've watched Daddy's Little Girl.
Did you?
I like Tyler
I love Gabrielle.
But you know what? The thing is, like, Tyler Perry shit is supposed to sit alongside a bunch of other shit, too. And the problem is that for a while, white people who were in charge of it just wouldn't let anything else through. Like, that was the real issue. And, you know, what I said to him was like, look, we may not be of the same audience. We may be speaking to the same. But the fact is, like, it's not your fault, Tyler Perry, that I couldn't get seen. Like, that wasn't your fault. And the trick of this industry was to make me think it was your fault and to blame you for it and to say, fuck you, because I can't get on. That was not the right way to think about it. And having been on the other side of that, from other black filmmakers or from black audiences in general, it was just like, oh, I have to disrupt this pattern.
Right. So I get that, because I will say that, like, I really do recommend A Strange Loop off Broadway. Larry Owens is amazing in it. But,
yes.
You know, a lot.
Is it still playing?
I think it's still playing.
Okay.
Yes,
it's closing somewhat soon. Also named after a Liz Phair song, which I had guessed.
Yeah.
That was confirmed to me in that article recently.
They mentioned Liz Phair in the play.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that, like, Michael R. Jackson, the writer, he is very focused on Tyler Perry. His main character is focused on, like, hating Tyler Perry. And I think that there's a moment where, you know, some ancestors come and they tell him, you know, like, Tyler Perry is giving black people good jobs, et cetera. You know, you need to focus on that.
Wait, but ancestors are in the movie?
The ancestors show up in the play.
Oh, yeah, God, yes. I already love it.
Harriet Tubman.
Oh, my God, I want this play right
Whitney.
Now.
Whitney.
Take me to New York. Brendan, take me to New York.
But what's great is that conversation, because it sort of brings up the fact that, you know, like, he is giving black people jobs. But I was saying that feeling of, we were forced to think that, you know, it's either him or us.
Yes.
I was revisiting that because, like, the hardest part about stage plays, right, is the audience.
Yeah.
Because the Broadway audience is always going to be largely white. You know? So you're making Tyler Perry jokes and it's white people laughing at them.
Right.
And it's sort of like it's uncomfortable a bit sitting in that audience and watching it. And I guess it's somewhat different because for a TV show, you can just watch it as a black person, right? You can talk with black people online.
You can watch it with whoever you want.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not, if white people are watching Dear White People, you're not necessarily always getting their reactions the way that you would get, like, if you're going to see Jeremy O'Harris's Slave play on Broadway.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know? You're going to be sitting there with white Broadway audiences, though, you know, and that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we have an different benefit of being able to.
But you know what it is, too? What I also thought about it is, like, the attack of Tyler Perry is an attack on us because our family members love that shit.
Yeah.
Am I family members? Well,
you
love it.
Well, yeah. You love it. People love it.
I love it in all levels. The plays, the movies. I love those shows on OWN.
Yeah.
Love it.
And it's like, who am I to fucking tell other black people where they can't see themselves? Who am I to, like, get on my high horse? Because the truth of the matter, we all can't. Here, I'm about to do it now. Yeah, I'm sorry. Because here at the crib, you know, I watch documentaries and old shit and Potomac. That's all I watch. I don't watch any middle ground stuff. Like, I don't know why. But I've been watching a lot of black people documentaries recently. And one of the things I'm real, it's all minstrelsy. Like, we are in this country and we have these opportunities because of minstrelsy, which is fucked up. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that's just, it is what it is, though. All of our traditions came out of minstrelsy. Everything from jazz to hip hop has a link to this tradition.
Tessa Thompson's character in season 2.
Hey.
Your show. You there know, you go.
Absolutely.
Like a Candace Owens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is a thing that is hard for a black artist to acknowledge, but I think we have to acknowledge that, like, we are someplace because of this great tradition, and the tradition cut both ways. It was fucked up for black people, but it also was, like, the only thing black people had, so we used it and made something amazing out of it and created characters, and you get Ethel Waters out of it. I mean, like, literally, like, we use that as kind of, like, a little doorway to get into the culture, and to deny people. And black people loved minstrel shows back in the day. Like, there were minstrel shows for black people. There were minstrel shows for white people playing black people playing white people. It was very complicated.
Victor Victoria, yes.
Yes, but with race and shame. And, but the thing, the like, gag of it all is...
Victor Vivica Fox.
Oh, my God.
Your lips to God's ears.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Okay, can we just pause really quick? Because I want something to happen. Loretta Devine... Jennifer Lewis.
Already there.
Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Oof.
Golden Girls reboot.
Oh, my God!
Can we make it happen? Can we collectively?
With Betty?
You need a fourth.
Betty, I think, is the landlord. Okay, I think it's her house.
Ah, yes.
I think that, so there have been pitches for the
What about Designing Women?
Okay, I'm just going to talk about what I know.
Okay, go ahead.
My boyfriend loves Designing Women. I don't get it. Point is that Golden Girls, I don't know who plays...
It's just a Tennessee Williams sitcom.
Uh-huh. It is! It is.
Yeah, without, you know, someone having an ailing disease. That's what Designing Women is.
Yeah, right. It is. Oh, my God, that's brilliant. Okay, so, but like... I don't know who plays the Sophia. It could be like a Cicely Tyson. It could be like a Marla Gibbs. It could be like a Jacket. It could be somebody like that. And this is not all my original idea, by the way. We saw Jackie's Back was Jennifer Lewis at a screening of it. And all three of them were there and cutting up. And people started talking about it. And I was talking about it, too. And I saw it on Twitter. I was like, oh, my God, like, this is, could be a fucking thing, guys. Let's do it.
That.
So I just want to make it a thing. I don't remember where I came from with this tangent.
But by the way, we have the live All in the Family and the live Jeffersons. I mean, like, I feel like live Golden Girls.
Right? Backdoor pilot it.
I'm seeing it.
Here for it. Yeah. Executive produced. by me. I'm just kidding. I don't want anything to do with it. I want people to make it. I want other people to make it so I can enjoy it.
Your Sophia question is bothering me. I really think there should be an answer to this that's coming to me right now. I wish I had it. Like Cicely Tyson is sort of in the area, but that's not it.
But Marla Gibbs.
No? Marla Gibbs, sure.
She would kill that. You want like brilliant like comedic timing and great writing. That's all you need for Golden Girls. And like they're all the right age. They're all the right set. Like it would be amazing.
Well, let's hire Tyler.
Let's do it.
We ain't got beef anymore.
We ain't got beef. We never had beef, by the way. But, you know.
I love the idea of my phone ringing, not knowing who's calling.
Not knowing. Minding my business.
Hey, this is Tyler Perry.
There was a moment I had to hit mute. There was a moment I had to hit mute for the biscuit sandwich to come because I didn't want him to know.
That you were at McDonald's?
Yeah, I didn't want him to know. But I was like, you know, I don't know. It was like a moment that I wanted to have with him, though, because I wanted him to know where my heart was. And this idea of Sam, who like hates Tyler Perry in the world of Dear White People, meeting Tyler Perry on campus and like duking that out. I had this like fan fiction fantasy of that. And I got to do it. As Jerry Skyler, this sort of character that comes to campus to teach black film, but that Sam does not respect. Uh-huh. And the two of them like going at it over the images on screen while Sam, other things going down. So, but that was like the nexus, like that was like that story idea and using that to kind of navigate how complicated this shit is. Once you've announced your arrival, you know, like I think all of us are going through this, like the Black Lives, all of the movements are now entering their like their next phase. Like we're all kind of having to mature and take it from like that initial burst of outrage and turn it into something. But that's not an obvious thing to do. It's really hard. It's difficult. And so I wanted to give the kids that kind of a struggle this season.
Great. Well, yeah. Tell us when season 3 drops.
August. Motherfucking 2nd.
Ooh.
All right.
It's going to be the blackest day ever because what's going to happen on August 2nd is you're going to get all the episodes of Dear White People. Then you're going to get Robin Thede's Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO.
Which looks amazing with our friend Ray Sonny.
Yeah, just literally like just take the day off. Like just light some candles, okay? Play Sade. Just give yourself, let the ancestors pour into you on that day.
Okay. Before you go, what Sade song are you playing?
Oh, God.
Hang on to your love, me.
Oh, wow. Smooth operator.
No.
Smooth operator.
All right, we'll be right back.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Wayday starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's drama on the set of Big Little Lies.
Can you imagine?
I know, right? Nicolette Sheridan showed up and was slapping everybody.
You know
that would be so great.
You know who I just thought of who I would like to join season 3? I think this is the correct answer. Vanessa Williams.
Mm.
I think she would contend well.
There's a new housewife in town. Like, just,
yeah, right.
She's just joining. Revamp. She's just joining soap operas with predominantly white women.
Right. It's a multiverse now.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want Big Little Lies season 3, by the way.
I was just going to say,
please keep that far away from TV. Anyway, rumors are surfaced now that the current season 2 director, Andrea Arnold, She, who directed Wuthering Heights, American Honey, which I loved, was basically hired to direct season two for show. She directed season two because John Mark Vallée couldn't commit to the project because it conflicted with him doing Sharp Objects. So Andrea directed the show, apparently, and then John Mark Vallée came back at the end and edited the show himself and even did some new shooting.
That is very crazy. Well, what's weird is, like, so when I think of Andrea Arnold, I mean, American Honey is a very distinct directorial experience. Like, to give the show to her is a gigantic move and a bold move. Mm-hmm. When you watch season two, the feel of the show is the exact same as season one. So if, in fact, her, like, footprint is on this show in some way, like, I can't really guess what that is. You know what I mean? Like, this IndieWire article, it does feel accurate to me in that I feel like I am just seeing more of him.
Yeah, so, well, he also ordered 17 additional days of photography as well. So even if there weren't shots that they could salvage from her to make it look like him, they went in and shot footage that looks like what he did last year as well. Mm-hmm. So essentially, she was a hired gun. And the show does look like him, you know? It doesn't look anything like what you would expect from Andrea Arnold, having seen her films. And it's a shame, too, because I felt like last year they really sort of were promoting the idea that she was going to be the director. I thought season two was going to have a completely different look and feel.
So they made this huge deal out of hiring a woman only to erase her in favor of the style of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
That is exactly it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Great job, guys.
And well, also, and it appears there is some editing trauma with the show because there's weird episodes that are short. It just doesn't seem to be as meaty as the previous year. And it feels like something that is patchworked together a little bit more so than before.
There are a lot of flashbacks this season.
Yeah.
Too. Like, how many times do we need to see Perry being shoved down the stairs?
Right. And at the beginning of every episode, too. It's also worth noting we had Adam Scott here last week, and we adore him. I assume this has nothing to do with him. But of course,
before it broke.
Yes, right.
Well,
exactly.
He got rid of Andrea Arnold himself.
Oh, you think so? Oh, right. That's
Adam
his turn.
Scott was up to it.
Yeah.
Andrea Arnold's the one who unfollowed him on Twitter.
This is like a weird, disturbing story. I saw, I wish I could remember this Jezebel writer's name, but I saw a tweet saying the idea of women-controlled stories is often just an artificial feeling. Like, you don't know how much they're actually contributing to a vision or if the men secretly in charge are valuing that vision or whatever.
Right, because this show is John Mark Vallée's look and feel, right? And David E. Kelley is the writer.
Mm-hmm.
So were the women behind the scenes,
right?
Besides like Reese and Laura Dern and Nicole Kidman, you know, et cetera. You know, they're not
a soupçon of Leanne Moriarty,
right? You know, and so it really is just sort of this idea that so many shows like this, soaps like this, because it is a soap,
because
David E. Kelley is writing it, and it's a soap, and this season feels very David E. Kelley. It's we keep getting these shows and they're mostly created by men, you know, and it's I just thought that we would have something different this season. And it really is returning to a lot of season ones, you know, like greatest hits.
I thought it was going to be good this season. Yeah.
It does feel a lot like not much has happened. Or like it's all very foreboding. Like it all better come out in this episode. All of these storylines better like amp up, you know what I mean? Yeah, now I don't know if they can possibly move towards a season three based on this fallout.
But I'm just watching because I really like all the characters.
I know, and the performances.
It's just not coming, right. And so I like that, and I do. But I do. I watch Euphoria every Sunday, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I do have this other show there. Let me just. And it's, I don't know, but I really like the characters. But the first couple episodes, that's not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does remind me of, again, Desperate Housewives, you know, like season two was notoriously messy.
Mm-hmm.
Alfre Woodard joined and she was keeping her son hostage in a basement.
The basement.
Chained up.
What in the
is that worse than Bonnie's mom showing up and being a witch?
Right.
An abusive witch.
Also, the way this storyline is concluding with her, I mean, she's obviously going to come out. She came out of that coma or whatever, mm-hmm. not to spoil anything, but how on earth are they going to tie that up in some reasonable way? The only thing that's coming to mind, speaking of Nicole Kidman, is you ever seen the movie Birth, where it's a movie that seems paranormal and then there's a logical explanation for what occurs that actually plunks it even deeper into real life? I hope they figure out something like that,
yeah,
you know, so that it's not just and voodoo is, you know, the fifth girl.
Big Little Spells.
That would sell in the room. You could do that.
You know, and there's also been this idea that, listen, television is not a director's medium, right? I would not have been shocked to see the show looking exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Because when you hire a director for a television show, they're supposed to, you know, fit the mold of what the pilot looked like. You know, it's supposed to be uniform.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, they're there to shoot the show and keep it moving. But yes, there was very much this idea that we were supposed to get something different for season two. And I think we've seen story-wise, beat-wise, look-wise, it's been the same as season one. So it just really feels sort of like Andrea Arnold's name was used for promo and clout, and now we don't get any of her. And it's sad.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, too, because, you know, I'm like, where has she been? She hasn't been getting any interviews.
I was just thinking, where's the soundbite? I want to hear it.
Yeah. It's like sources close to her said that she is devastated by the experience of having Valet take over the show, according to Vulture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did get 6 straight episodes of Zoe Kravitz looking like she had the worst migraine ever, which I guess I value.
Zoe Kravitz, I find myself staring.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm zoning out. I don't know what happened. There's a lot of silence anyway, so it's fine.
Well, also, then you wake up when Laura Dern screams every episode.
Oh, yeah. Laura.
I love her.
I think she deserves the Emmy over Meryl. Because they're going to compete.
She's great. Reese is weirdly moved into supporting this year.
Is she?
I feel like in the sense that.
Oh, true, true, true.
She's not driving the story like she was last year.
And yeah, her storyline feels like a B story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know.
The performances are really great.
Oh no, they're so addictive. Mm-hmm. You know, I would compare it to Sharp Objects. I don't know if I love the narrative of Sharp Objects, but like you can really meditate in the severity of those performances and in the serenity of these surroundings. Serenity.
The one thing HBO managed to do, right? You know, it's like if this is a David E. Kelly show, it's basically a primetime soap opera. Mm-hmm. Actresses of this caliber and like a Meryl Streep would never have signed on to do like Dynasty or like a Desperate Housewives or even like The Practice, right? Mm-hmm. On network TV. But because it's HBO, you can tell that same story. But when you put like, you know, art house directing and like crashing waves and like music over it, it seems like it's more elevated than other TV shows that they would maybe ignore.
Totally. No, I mean, you're right. This is sort of a show that is vamped into something greater than it probably would be.
How to Get Away with Murder, right? That Viola's doing amazingly, and it's fun to watch. But that show is what it is, right? You know, like, if it were on HBO or something, they would try and dress it up to make it seem like it's
cinematic.
Not just a soapy legal procedural.
Serial, yeah, correct.
Yeah, wow. Season 3, who are they going to hire to direct?
Yeah, new cast? I have no idea. Yeah.
No.
I know, but I want the cast.
New cast for Big Little Lies Season 3, and then once it's done, Jean-Marc Vallée will have all the actresses come back and just reshoot the scenes.
Right.
Oh my God, what if Big Little Lies Season 3 was the way they interviewed the townspeople in the first season, except it's just the cast, it's just the crew of Big Little Lies talking about their experience and what happened to Andrea Arnold.
Great.
He pushed her. When we're back, keep it. And we're back with our favorite segment of the episode. It is Keep It. Lewis, your jaw is agape. It's ajar.
I just have an underbite. It's unintentional. my Keep It this week is as basic as they come. It's to that face app old man, old face filter. Guys, I want you to have your fun. I want you to enjoy the telephones that you own. I want you to share fun things with your friends. I also want those fun things to stay with your friends. My entire Twitter timeline, my entire Insta timeline is filled with just gross out Rick Baker looking photos of you at age 175. I'm not saying, I don't think it's ageist to say you look so gross. It disturbs the zen of my timeline, which is filled with, you know, things we all love, such as very symmetrical nipples of good-looking men, the occasional food item that I will enjoy. Glenn Close with blueberries in her eyes. Did we all see that picture?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, looking like she was in the balcony in Sesame Street.
Yeah, no, what she looked like was a Wallace and Gromit kind of cartoon. You have to see this picture of Glenn Close.
I do now, okay. Yeah.
She kind of slays Instagram for me, but
The point is that people don't know how to use Instagram feed versus stories, right? You're using the old man
story,
filter,
yes.
Put it in your story.
Yes.
Right. I don't need to see it in my timeline.
Right. Especially since people rarely have like a good caption to go with. You need to give me actual content. I'm here for the wit.
Terrible at captions.
Oh my God.
You're so funny. Like, post your pick and go. So I'm not. I can't give you a Bible verse. This is just really just a selfie. So I'm just going to give you a little smiley face because I just want you to focus.
Yeah.
All of my photos go with Psalms 23.
It's always like a booty pick and a Bible verse. It's like, ma'am.
So I'm just saying, control your content. Don't post a picture of yourself looking like one of the zombies from the Thriller video. I just don't. Not only do I not want to see it, think about who wants to see it ultimately. Is it anybody? If the answer is no, consider not doing it.
Speaking of people not wanting to see things on Instagram, you were at San Diego Pride this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And you missed the Crooked Summer Party.
Oh, I know. And which second year in a row.
I'm going to say that one of the hosts of Pod Save America said that it is very jarring to scroll through their Instagram feed and all of a sudden, Lewis is naked.
Oh. Look, we all have a great time at San Diego Pride. What are you supposed to do in San Diego? Be clothed? It's like a skateboarding resort. You have to find something fun to do.
Are you in San Diego every weekend?
Are you naked every weekend?
I better
Instagram?
Not be. No,
off and on. Check her Instagram, okay?
I can't deal. I love it.
Girl,
it's like the emperor has no clothes.
Girl, until the age 29, I had the body of a tapeworm, okay? Some of us gained a little pride. Allow it.
Right. I feel you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Brooke, what is your keep it?
My keep it is stop asking Serena Williams stupid questions in those post-game press conferences.
Ooh.
Like over the weekend, everyone was talking about, she was asked if she should stop focusing on equality and activism and focus on tennis. Who asks? What?
Billie Jean King.
So really just leave her alone. It should just be not even just press conferences. Leave Serena alone. Does she not do enough for us? There was also, I read Billie Jean King's exact quote. I still don't know what she was saying. She kind of clarified that she wasn't saying she didn't want her to stop focusing on activism. She was just saying she has a lot of stuff, but the stuff she named was activism, her child, her business. So I was confused.
What? I watched a movie about Billie Jean King's activism. What?
I know. Right? Billie Jean's just mad that they weren't sticking lesbians on Wheaties boxes in like 1973. I don't know.
Weird. Leave her alone.
Same.
Like, people are awful to Serena. Who gets asked that? You would never ask that to anyone else.
You know what's interesting is I'm always so thankful for athletes who can give smart, interesting responses to questions just period because what is there to say? You know, the sport presents itself. You won, you lost, whatever. But actually, what I need to be more impressed with is journalists who ask interesting questions of these athletes because you need to set them up. Like, the part of the job of being an interviewer is, you know, giving these great people who do a lot for us, you know, reason to say something cool.
Yeah.
You know,
there was one where someone said, hey, Serena, congratulations on the win, but it was a little scrappy, huh? And she was like, that wasn't nice. You should apologize. I liked
the worst member of the the Do family, Scrappy, as well.
I mean, oh, please. The height alone. The constant yapping. And yet no one-liners. It's just gums flapping.
I also think part of that problem is that Serena sort of is the only one doing it, right? Yeah. I mean, tennis isn't really a sport with a lot of Black people.
Yes.
Or non-straight people as well, who are very visible. So there aren't that many people who can really make sort of political statements all the time while they're playing tennis, as opposed to basketball or football. You know, it's like they are constantly making political statements. I mean, and people don't like the football players do it either. But you expect it more because here's a bunch of Black men playing, mm-hmm. or like the WNBA or even the women's soccer team. Like they're making comments about LGBTQ rights in America and equal pay, and it's Serena really is just out there and so loud because
just
who else
existing,
is doing it?
You say Andy Murray pipes up every once in a while, but you're right. He's sort of like, should it be me? Okay, I guess it's me.
It's really cool because like the young Black women who are coming up and some of them are still girls and like Coco who beat Venus mm-hmm. and Serena, they're only playing because of Serena and Venus. And mm-hmm. I think that's so cool that we're to that point now.
Yeah.
And Serena and Venus are still playing.
I know this is like so elementary, but sometimes I just think about, I bought my first CD when I was 12 and it was Natalie Imbruglia's Left of the Middle. And I specifically remember listening to that and watching Venus Williams play. She is still playing. It's okay. So crazy.
I was wondering how we were going to get to tennis from Torn.
Watch me.
But you did it.
I trusted me.
6 Degrees of Lewis. You can always go from some white woman CD to the topic at hand.
I love that.
That's the promise.
I was for a LV second. Pump. I was like, wait, so what are we doing with this?
Not much.
Where are we going?
It came back around. You did it.
Yeah. Did you know Torn's a cover?
Yes. When the internet found that out, I was so disappointed in the internet. Edna Swap, 1993.
Hello.
Well, the internet likes to discover things years later.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my keep it this week is to the internet.
Okay. For why? That's funny.
So apparently there's a lot of drama happening at Area 51.
Oh, one of the more popular areas.
Yeah. Listen, I love aliens, mm-hmm. but I feel like I had no idea that Area 51 was trending because there was a Facebook group of people who wanted to storm Area 51.
Correct.
In September to get the secrets.
Oh, my God.
To get...
If you run really fast at Area 51, they have no choice but to give you the secrets.
to find Dana Scully? Yeah. I don't know. So there were so many alien memes happening on the internet, and it was a lot of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that something was actually fucking happening at Area 51. I thought that Trump had accidentally revealed something. I thought that there was actually an attack there. I thought that... there was something going on that had anything to do with reality and not just a group of crazy people wanting to storm Area 51.
And you had that reaction like when, whatever, Betty White is trending and
yes,
people are like,
yes.
I thought she was dead. I made a joke about how I hate when people do that and then Padma Lakshmi unfollowed me because I think she had just done that and I didn't see it. Padma, come back. I'm such a nice person.
Oh, no.
Padma unfollowed you?
I think about it constantly. I talked about it with Adam Scott last week.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And somebody unfollowed him, too. He really commiserated well.
Oh.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But do we even...
I love that you noticed.
Right, I know. Good observation, Brooke, but yeah.
Do we think Padma is running that account?
Yes.
Yes.
Does she tweet every tweet, though?
Yes.
What do you mean?
I mean, I feel like some of the tweets are very, like... they're workshopped.
In the way that, like, Madonna every once in a while will have perfect punctuation. It's like, oh, Warner Brothers.
Like, no, in the way that, like a Bette Midler, intern. Or sometimes they seem like a writer's room joke.
Oh. But she's interested enough in comedy that I would be surprised if she didn't.
True. Yes. Well, maybe we'll get Padma on the show and confront her about unfollowing you.
Right.
What if I just burst into tears in front of her?
Or maybe she'll never come on now because of you.
You shamed her, and she's done.
Right. And now it's now it's out there.
My actual keep it is to Louis Vertel keeping Padma from going on.
No, I think she can forgive you. She is forgiven for the whole Top Chef episode on the plantation. She can forgive this.
Oh, wow. Okay? Completely forgot about that. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
What was my keep it?
Area 51.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Shout out to Weekly World News. I miss when aliens were just fully on display at the checkout whenever you went.
Yes, yes. Or like on Natural Enquirer, it would be like Betty White kidnapped by aliens.
Right. No, or whoever is popular at the time. Yeah. Well, L.A. Law's Jill Eikenberry.
Well, she's been popular since like the 20s.
Right, so yes.
I think Betty White's been on National Enquirer every decade.
Probably. Oh, I want to check out that stat. She is literally older than sliced bread. That's true.
Is she?
Yes. She's born, I think, 1922.
Oh my gosh, that's a year after my grandma was born.
Yeah, and sliced bread is later in the 20s.
Oh my goodness.
The Romans weren't slicing bread?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, did you know Julius Caesar's nickname was bread, though? So technically they were slicing bread.
What the fuck is that?
Get it? Because they stabbed him.
And that has to do with bread?
Oh, that was dark.
It was just a joke.
Oh, we need to get you to an improv class.
That was dark.
Well, you're supposed to yes and, Lewis.
I know and what the fucked. Which is also acceptable in this case, I believe.
Well, anyway, the federal government has warned people not to storm Area 51 because they will be ready. So maybe in September we will talk about a bunch of dead people at Area 51. That'll be fine.
Oh, all right.
What is wrong with people?
That's our show. We'll see you next week. Keep It is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadine Melkonian, for filming and editing our video content every week.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.